Join Mark and Molly Hemingway, Brian Wolfmiller, Rod Dreher, Jennifer Roback Morse, Scott Murray, and me for the 2017 Fall Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, Friday, November 10th and Saturday, November 11th in Houston, Texas. Registration is $120. For more information, visit issuesetc.org. The Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, November 10th and 11th in Houston.
And they won't ask me questions.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. It is a family tradition, I guess we could say, that many of us grew up with. You may have come from a religious family, and maybe you only did this, what, at Thanksgiving, when it was kind of obligatory to say thanks to God before you sat down to eat the turkey and the stuffing. Or maybe, like the way I was raised, it was almost every meal around the table with as much of the family as we could assemble, we would say thanks beforehand. Some Christians even return thanks after the meal. It's a strong tradition in a lot of religions, not just Christianity, and apparently one that holds on in the American culture and society when many other religious traditions have fallen by the wayside. Joining us to talk about a new poll on Americans and table prayers, Sarah Pulliam Bailey, a regular guest, religion reporter for The Washington Post and author of a recent story titled, When It Comes to Saying Grace, Americans Are Still United. Sarah, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
In your research for this story, did you strike upon an answer for why this particular bit of religious practice, of religious piety, persists when so many others in American culture have fallen by the wayside?
Yeah, I think a couple of things might be happening. First, I think, you know, the act of saying grace is often something that kids learn at a very young age. So it's like a habit that's instilled in them as a maybe it's a, you know, a patience thing, right? So wait before you get your food. It's a way for everyone to pause, acknowledge that, you know, food is not something easily come by. And so I think that young age aspect, you know, is something that kind of carries people throughout the rest of their life, especially when it's like a liturgical prayer. If you're a Lutheran or Catholic, maybe you say the same prayer, a mealtime prayer. And so that, you know, can remind people and kind of trigger, it's time to eat. This is what we do, right? The other thing, too, is just the act of saying grace prayer. You know, it's not, there isn't a lot of activity that you need to do. You just need to bow your head and say something, right? You don't have to, you know, get in your car and go to church. You don't have to, you know, give up your money. There's not a ton of sacrifice except maybe a couple of minutes of your time and pausing. And often people do enjoy, even if we find that even if they stop, you know, practicing in other their religion in other ways, they continue this kind of moment of silence or this thoughtful kind of meditative state right before they eat.
And this applies across religious boundaries, across religions, across denominations and socioeconomic, even where people live. It seems to be very widespread. Talk about that.
Yeah, we did. We found some interesting aspects. We do, you know, we find that this is kind of a unifying factor that people do say grace before they eat. I do think we did find, you know, some stronger elements among certain religious groups. For instance, this practice is very prevalent among Black Protestants. 80% of them say they pray before meals. White evangelical Protestants, 74% of them say they pray before meals. And so 52% of Catholics do this. So we do see, you know, varying degrees of how strongly these groups do pray before meals. And then also we see a little bit of a partisan split. We know that 62% of Republicans say grace 2 times a week compared with 42% of Democrats. So there is a little bit of, I mean, it's still pretty strong, a strong minority among Democrats, but it's definitely a bit more strong among Republicans.
And one of the things that intrigued me was that I believe, if I read the data correctly, Roman Catholics tend to say grace at a significantly higher rate than Protestants do.
What we understand is that 6 in 10 Protestants say grace a few times a week or more, and 52% of Catholics do.
Okay, so I had that
reversed. Catholics are a little less. Right. Just a little bit less likely than, and this is 6 in 10 Protestants overall. This includes mainline Protestants, white evangelicals. This is kind of combining everyone.
So how does this relate in your research for the story? How does this seem to relate to kind of the place of family? One of the things that we often hear is that families eat together less and less in a formal way, sitting down at a table the way I grew up, 3 meals a day around a table with the family when we could manage it. That's becoming more rare. Do you find anything with respect to that?
Yeah, I do think it seems like a luxury people talked about. I talked to Anne Lamott, who's a Christian author, and she talked about, it's such a luxury to take a couple of moments before prayer. It feels like that, when we're in the habit of just, diving into our food. We're not only, our families, fewer families eating dinner time together, we're just like preparing our meals less. We're not cooking as much as we used to. So maybe there's less of an acknowledgement that we need, this took time. Someone had to prepare this. It's hard when, maybe it's something coming from the freezer or just a quick and easy meal. To maybe the gratitude is a little less there. Tim Keller, a prominent pastor in New York City, told me a funny story that didn't make it into my final story just because of length concerns, but he said that he had to keep his prayers short before meals because he had 3 boys and they had the knives.
What about the kind of, is there a, for lack of a better word, Sarah, a secular version of this, one that people who are not explicitly religious or devout in whatever religious tradition they have still retain something before they sit down and eat?
Yeah, I think it's funny. Someone was telling me they think that Instagram is maybe replacing the grace for some people, but there is still a desire to sort of take a moment and acknowledge in front of you that, we have this food that gives us nourishment, that keeps us healthy, that, allows us to live another day. And so I think even if you're not religious, you may see the value in taking a moment, whether it's like sort of a meditative moment or an act of gratitude to say something like that. I talked to Greg Epstein. He's a humanist chaplain at Harvard University. He said he and his wife picked up a phrase when they were in Israel that translates roughly to bon appetit. And so it's just a way for him, he and his wife, to say, it's just like this very quick moment right before the meal to say, enjoy this food. And so it's not a prayer for them. They're humanists. They're not acknowledging a higher power, but just a way to kind of pause before the meal.
You also tell the story of Stuart of Las Cruces, New Mexico, who retains the practice, although you say who is himself a non-believer.
Yeah, I think there is, again, this sense of a desire to acknowledge this food, to say some kind of, to give gratitude, right? So he met a Native American man who taught him how to give thanks to the spirits for his food. And so I think we see this taking on different forms. Sometimes that, I mentioned the Catholic or Lutheran prayer that you would have this prayer that comes down through liturgy. But some people are finding, whether it's, Greg Epstein, who I mentioned, who went to Israel and found, people are sort of taking these bits of spirituality and applying it in their everyday lives.
Does this apply more generally, not just to table prayers, where we find people all across the spectrum continuing to practice in some form or another, but maybe to prayer in general?
That's a good question. We were specifically looking at the act of saying grace, right? Like, as a specific form of practice. So I'm not sure that we ask the question, do you pray in general? I do think that there are parallels, though I think, to obviously your prayer, saying grace before meal is a form of prayer. But I think when there are meals in front of us, they give us maybe a reminder, a quick, it's an obvious thing in front of us. It's sort of like you don't need a calendar note to a reminder on your phone to like pop up to remind you to pray if you're going to do it right before you eat anyway. And so I'm not sure how it would compare, but we do find that, this practice of saying grace is even, I think, I want to say it's 11% of people is what we found who describe themselves as atheists, agnostics, or adherents of no particular religion say grace at least a few times a week, which I thought was pretty high.
Did you find any differences with respect to generations or age?
That's a good question. Yes, we did find 40% of Americans younger than 35 say grace, and at least half of older people of older age groups say grace regularly. So we do find that if you're older, you're more likely to say grace regularly. But it's not a huge divide, right? 40% isn't that much different from 50%.
Do you think that this has anything to teach us about religiosity in the United States in general, about kind of the social or the cultural place of religious observance in what many people think is an increasingly secularized culture?
Right. I mean, this is when people think, you know, the United States is going more secular, there are examples you can point to for that, but it's nothing like you would if you were to go to another country. In Europe, Asia, you know, several other countries would be much more secular. It's such a common thing, right, to go to some banquet or some activity, some organization thing, even if it's not explicitly religious and someone says a prayer before the meal. It's such a common thing that, you know, even if you're not religious, everyone knows to bow their heads and acknowledge. And so it does, to me, it shows, you know, America is still pretty religious, even as we see a shift away from maybe institutional religion in the past couple of decades.
Sarah Pulliam Bailey is the religion reporter for The Washington Post and author of a recent story titled, When It Comes to Saying Grace, Americans Are Still United. You can read it at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Sarah, thank you very much.
Thank you.
On the other side of the break, we're going to spend some time talking about Lutheranism in Puerto Rico with Pastor Matt and Heather Roosh, career missionaries for the Lutheran Church of Missouri Synod in Puerto Rico.
I know she's cooking something good, so let's bow our heads and pray.
Sing to the Lord, let praises be. It's time for dinner now, let's go.
If you've ever attended an Issues Etc. conference or any number of events that take place across the Synod and have wondered why more people from my congregation aren't here, check out the special seminar package the CLCC is offering for the 500th anniversary. All you need so the pastors of your circuit can organize, promote, and present a seminar that appeals to the members of your congregation, even the youth, is provided free by the CLCC. Just go to theclcc.org and click on the blue box, or check us out on Facebook.
The people of Zion Lutheran Church, East Moline, Illinois, invite you to discover the blessings that await you here. At Zion, we proclaim a gospel of free grace for all. No one ever falls too low to find forgiveness and peace with God in Christ Jesus. To learn more, visit us at zionem.com or join us on Sunday at 9 a.m. Zion is located at 17618 Hubbard Road in rural East Moline, Illinois.
The radio voice of the Lutheran faith for the 21st century. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Not only does our church need men right now, but the world needs men who will proclaim the gospel in its purity.
Issues, Etc. regular guest, Dr. Peter Scare, Associate Professor of New Testament at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
If when you go to sleep at night, you're thinking about it, my experience with it is this, is that thought won't go away. So if you're going to bed at night thinking about following our Lord and becoming a preacher of this gospel, then I would love if you could come and visit Fort Wayne, our campus. We'd love to show you around and show you what it is that we do.
Have you ever considered becoming a pastor? Contact Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana at 1-800-481-2155, 800-481-2155, or visit ctsfw.edu. Christ-centered, cross-focused, Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana.